Good Monday afternoon and welcome to this edition of This Week at Alabama A&M University. I'm your host, Michael Burns. And as always, on the second Monday of each month, we interview staff and guests of the Alabama Cooperative Extension System, Alabama Extension, or you'll hear me refer to it as ACES, throughout the program. Now, Alabama Extension is the primary public service and educational outreach organization for Alabama Agricultural and Mechanical University and Auburn University, serving residents in all 67 counties across the state. Now, Alabama Extension, housed here at Alabama A&M University, has staff in 9 urban centers across the state and serves residents in 26 counties, including Madison, Morgan, and Limestone counties. The topic of today's discussion is Hispanic Heritage Month, and we have a returning guest in the studio today. I'll allow her to introduce herself, and I'm proud to have her joining me today. Go ahead and introduce yourself to our guest, please.
Thank you, Michael. Hi, how are you? It's been 2 years since I had a pleasure to share the mic with you.
I'm happy to have you here with me.
Thank you so much. Well, my name is Juana Macias Christian, and I am, my job title is a long one, Urban Regional Extension Agent, which really translates into being a community educator. I am an educator working for the Alabama Cooperative Extension System, and I'm housed in Gunnersville. You know, we have an office in every county, and I am not in one of the urban centers, but I am in Marshall County, because as we go back in 19 years in time, Marshall County was ideal. It was the ideal place to place me, close to the campus, close to Alabama A&M, but also in the middle of where the action was happening, you know, to bring all those educational programs,
right,
whether it was health, nutrition, family, and personal financial management, food safety, and youth programs, among other things. And currently, I'm also part of the CRD, Community Resource Development Team, which brings small business and career countdown to the public.
All right, so you've got a lot on your shoulders right there. You've got a lot going on. And the reason we have you here today is to talk about National Hispanic Heritage Month, which runs through September 15th until October 15th. As I've been told in the past, and as my notes tell me today, September 15th was chosen as the starting date because it is Independence Day for 5 Latin American countries, which are Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, and Nicaragua. And in addition, Mexico declared its independence on September 16th and Chile on September 18th. Now, the theme for this year's Hispanic Heritage Month is Esperanza, a celebration of Hispanic heritage and hope. Now, Juana, I'm going to ask you to please explain or tell us, what does that mean to you?
As a native of Honduras, and as a Hispanic myself, a Latina, Generation X, you know, we're talking about generation. So definitely Esperanza means hope. Esperanza gives us that hope, that feeling of things are going to come down sooner than later. Things are going to come down, and we will see the light at the end of the tunnel. In the times we're living, I think it's very appropriate, because we have lived some dark moments, some times where some people saw no hope. So to bring that back, esperanza, hope, it's, you know, part of our culture, part of our heritage, part of how we live in. And that's how I see it as well, that, you know, it's it all, hope, esperanza, that we have hope that we will get through this slowly, but like I said, hopefully sooner than later, we will come out and be resilient as always. So it's really, really a very appropriate theme in the times we live in right now.
Well, let me ask you this. We've got a long list of things to talk about, but one of the things I want to talk about is something that, of course, is very near to us, and something that has affected us across the board. That is, of course, with the pandemic of COVID-19. you work with these families that in many cases are very susceptible or in a position where it can run through their families or through their communities. What has that been like for you working with these families?
We have, you know, we have resource to online, a lot of online and telephone communication, Zoom, Facebook. I missed the contact. I will be honest with you. The fact that, you know, we came to a full stop telling us that we couldn't see the families face to face because of the circumstances. It has changed and it gradually has gotten, you know, better to be able to communicate with them face to face in some instances. But I have done my, I will have to tell you that I've gone above and beyond to share the message. You know, first in the beginning, you know, wear a mask, wash your hands, sanitize, sharing that message and in Spanish and English. And it was very well received for the majority of yes, very well received. Now, the second message that now we carry is, you know what it is.
Vaccination. Get,
please, you know, vaccination. A mother the other day said for, the, you know, with having a sick kid herself, she said for the love, for, I think she said for crying out loud, please get vaccinated. Please, people, get vaccinated. So that message, we continue to share it, but we have found some resistance. Some resistance. Yesterday, I ran into an old friend of mine, and she's Mexican, and she was like, I'm scared. I'm just scared of the vaccine. Are you sure I can take it? I said, yes, your daughter, you know, got vaccinated. Mm-hmm. I got vaccinated. I said, you should be okay. If you will be okay. You know, you can never say that definitely will be okay. I said, but there, the chances that you will be okay are high, very high.
Okay. Have any of your clients found it difficult to get vaccinated because they can't find a spot or there's been resistance there because people may not consider them as citizens or something to that effect?
I'm glad you mentioned that, Michael, because that, I think the number one reason, number two reason, number one is fear of the unknown. But we have, you know, I have shared several times, you know, about the polio vaccine, about the other vaccines that we have willingly and safely taken in the past, measles, et cetera. So, and they know about them, you know, we're very familiar. I mean, in order to become a U.S. resident, you have to be vaccinated. Even if you're a 45-year-old or a 60-year-old, that you got to get some vaccines just to make sure when you re-enter the country, you're okay. So, but the number two reason is the fact that that lack of trust in the system, and I think that is changing for the better. It seems like a lot of folks that are not documented, they are afraid to leave those, you know, the address and the name and the date of birth in a document that belongs to, you know, the Alabama Department of Public Health. So that has been, I think, one of the fears, to leave their information in fearing that it can be traced to them.
Okay. Juana Macias Christian is our guest today. She's from Alabama Extension here on the campus of Alabama A&M University. Her main focus is with the Hispanic population in the North Alabama area as she works with them. And I guess when we get back to our discussion, I guess the reason that we're here is talking about Hispanic Heritage Month. And the theme for this month is Esperanza, a celebration of Hispanic heritage and hope. But first, my first question is, let our audience know, who do we consider to be Hispanic when we talk about this?
Oh, I'm glad that, you know, I love that question. Everywhere I go, I've been sharing the message for 19 years, Michael. It's been 19 years since I joined the Alabama Cooperative Extension.
Wow.
And for
And wow. For our listeners, I'm looking at her now on Zoom, and she looks so very young. She looks like she looks like she's 21. So I don't know. You can start working.
Oh no, I'm gonna say, you know, I want to be 49 forever.
Okay.
So that will be a compliment enough. But thank you, Michael. The Hispanic one of our administrator, Dr. Kimberly Holmes, shared some light into that topic recently. Because you asked, okay, Hispanic Latinos, just like Black African American. So, but in our case, in our very unique case, Michael, you are Hispanic regardless of race. So you can have you can have Rita Moreno, you can have Dr. Quiñones Hinojosa, you can have Jennifer Lopez, or you can have Sammy Sosa or Big Papi, you know, Mr. Ortiz, the beloved Big Papi. So someone may be puzzled and said, okay, but Big Papi is Black, Sammy Sosa is Black, and then Jennifer Lopez is in between, you know, she looks different. And then you have Selena, may she rest in peace. So you have the different races, and then you have the ethnicity, which is part of our, you know, heritage, that people from Latin America were grouped back, I don't know, 50, 60 years ago, I lost count already. So Hispanic and Latino is not a race. It's our heritage. Okay. We were classified because the government needed to classify us. You know, there was no more Black and white like in the 40s.
Yes.
Because if you see an Italian that immigrated from Italy, he was European, so he was white automatically.
Okay.
Okay, so a Caucasian-looking person from Argentina or Venezuela, still, that person will say, are you Hispanic? Yes. And so, and going back to Big Papi, okay, are you Hispanic? So Afro-Latino. So we have the term Afro-Latino.
Okay. And so he's from the Dominican. So therefore.
Yeah, he's Dominican. Yes. And
so
you have
the import of people into those countries on that side of the Caribbean.
Yes. So our heritage, our common culture, in our, with the exception of Brazil, we speak Spanish.
Yes.
You know, Cuba, Dominican Republic, even Puerto Rico, Honduras, all Central America, and down south from Panama, Colombia, Venezuela, down south, Chile, okay, Argentina, etc. Yes.
Okay.
So that's the unique and interesting way that we could explain, you know, in such a short time, the difference. So you will see a person saying, yes, I am Black. And then they next, if you're filling a form and they said, are you of Hispanic? Are you Hispanic? Yes, or no? And you say, yes.
Okay. All right. Let me ask you a question real quickly then. Is the term Hispanic used outside of the North American and Central American areas? Or is this unique to our side of the hemisphere?
Absolutely unique to the United States of America.
Okay.
Right. Absolutely unique. Yes. And once you cross the border, you're just Mexican. You are Honduran, like myself. Okay. You are Cuban. Boricua, if you are from Puerto Rico.
All right. So in European countries, you're just referred to by your country then. You would be Nicaraguan.
Yeah.
You are Mexican. You are Cuban, etc.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, outside the U.S. border.
Thank you for clearing that.
Yeah, no problem.
Now, how many Hispanic or Latinos do we have living in the U.S. now?
The latest statistics, we have around 61 million Hispanic in the United States, Michael.
Wow.
But yeah, they themselves identify as Hispanic and Latino. But as generations have grown, I wouldn't be surprised where a grandchild of a Mexican American person may not necessarily choose to say, yes, I am Hispanic. So that number, you know, it could go up if, you know, if we look at the different generations, because there are families that now you have fifth generation Mexican American or Colombian American, et cetera.
I understand. But now as they grow older and the families grow in size and the generations go, then some people tend to walk away from that or work their way out of that, as you say. So I understand what you're saying.
I've noticed.
But it
hasn't
been. You've seen some of that happen, but it's not necessarily a trend. It's not something that
happens. No, it's not a trend. No, it's not a trend.
That's good.
It's usually very, very few families. And then on the other hand, some families that 20 years ago did not, you know, identify, they just went for white. Now they can say, oh, yes, I'm, as you look at me physically, I'm white, but I'm also Latino. So now with that, so it has gone both ways. Okay. So some people are finally able to classify themselves as or identify themselves as Latinos.
Okay. And you've integrated yourself into this community. And when I say community, I'm talking about the United States, because now we see services, bilingual services, wherever we go. We see menus in Spanish. We see instructions, directions in Spanish. We have people that are working in a customer service that speak both English and Spanish, because you are a thriving minority within this United States and becoming a part of it, or have, you know, a very important part of it, I should say, not becoming, but a very important part of it.
Oh, absolutely. You turn the TV on and we're everywhere. Just about every major company in the U.S. will have a bilingual commercial.
Yes.
So either bilingual in some cases, another, you go to Univision, the, most watched Hispanic network in America, Spanish language mm-hmm. network, and you will see the same commercial in Spanish that you can see on, you know, your local networks. CNN, etc. CNN is good, is famous for doing it both ways. I love it. I love that about CNN, that they have some little Spanish in the commercials
and
as well.
One of the local TV stations, now I understand, has their news broadcast in Spanish.
Yes. I believe her name is Megan Reyna, one of the young faces. I'm glad you mentioned that, Michael, because I almost forgot. There are so many young faces in Huntsville proper working as journalists, working as broadcasters. And Megan Reyna, I believe, is her name, on Channel 31.
Yes.
And she has been the main anchor several times at the 10 yes. o'clock hour.
Yes. So they have made that progress, or made that step towards serving that other part of our population. So that's very nice on their part. And, of course, Alabama Extension is no exception. You primarily serve Hispanic audiences in what you do. What are the programs that you provide for these families?
Before I move to the program, Michael, I want to mention, since we talked about Megan Reyna, if you don't mind,
sure.
That, you know, from, we are 61 million, you know, which is 18% of the population. And we have that force, you know, for commercial, for everything. But, you know, starting from Huntsville and then going nationally and even internationally, you'll see all those Hispanic faces thriving. Yes. And what really has touched my heart is to see those healthcare workers that are bilingual, that are of Hispanic origin, and they are working so hard fighting this pandemic as we speak. So that has been great to see. And because we all know the Jennifer Lopez, the Selena Gomez, and lately this young lady that I had to Google her, Olivia Rodrigo, when I saw the news about President Biden inviting her to be part of the vaccination campaign. Mm-hmm. And I was like, who is Olivia Rodrigo? I don't know her. I might be too old for her.
I'll have to Google her after we get off the air.
Yes, Olivia Rodrigo. And then, of course, we have our very own Secretary of Education. Were you aware of our Secretary of Education? Dr. Miguel Cardona.
Okay. Yes.
So we have different, you know, but especially the healthcare workers that are fighting this pandemic, this terrible virus. I want to do an honorable mention. We couldn't finish the program without, you know, including them.
Okay.
Because they're doing such a great labor, and as bilinguals, they're helping the people that are getting sick with coronavirus, who are not able to communicate that well in English. So, but going back to my programs, Michael, like I said,
because Wendy's going to fuss at us.
Yes. And maybe Dr. Holmes too. So my programs, as you heard me earlier, that yes. One of the programs that I offer that directly help our communities, the Serve Safe program, which is the, if you're not aware, the Alabama Department of Public Health requires restaurant workers and managers to get the certification. So I mm-hmm. offered that certification fully in Spanish.
Oh, wow.
So yes, we offer that at least 5 times a year.
Okay.
And that's one of the few programs that have a fee. But other than that, we do wonderful programs in nutrition and health. We do, like I was telling you earlier, personal and financial management. And those are the two main programs that.
Okay.
This I'm almost. Sorry.
You locked up there for just a second on us, but you were saying those were the two main programs that you were focused on. Our connection for just a second.
Okay. Sorry about
that. No, it's not your fault.
Well, okay. So nutrition, diet and health,
yes.
Personal financial management have a primarily focus on the Hispanic community.
Okay.
And I've been able to go beyond, even beyond our state borders, because we were able to do it via Zoom and Facebook Live.
Yes.
So it's easier to reach out more people that way. But last and not least, within CRD, Community Resource Development, we have the small business programs and also the Career Countdown, which is near and dear to my heart, where I go to the schools, but I don't necessarily go to just Hispanic students. I go to all of them, mm-hmm. but I try to also go to schools who have a majority of Hispanic students. So with Career Countdown.
All right. Now let's talk about, we've talked about those programs in the past. So we've gone into great detail about them. But do you have some new things on the horizon, some new programs that are going on?
Right now, actually, we already started. You know, one of the new programs that we started about a year ago, precisely, because I remember promoting Hispanic Heritage Month during those, is called Fun Friday. It's a series of programs that we do. We do one a day through nutrition, diet, and health. And I'm in charge of Fun Fridays, capital F-U-N, Fun Fridays, in which we share timely information, timely nutrition information, all the trends or the latest health information that are relevant and important, and also have to do with healthy eating and physical activity. That's one of my new ones. It's been there for a year, so that's one of the ones that is thriving right now.
Okay. And we've got just a few minutes here, and
I don't want to
rush through some things, but I do want to talk about them a little bit. There, I saw mention of something called the Linda Ear Storytime.
Yes, that is a co-worker. They have this. This is a new brand. This also brand new, started in 2020, and it's a program through the ag. I think the agent is an ag agent.
Oh,
and
okay.
The next one will be October 21st, September 21st. And so it's designed to help young kids, you know, story time, reading
okay.
time.
All right.
So that is the background, basically, in such a short time, I can tell you that.
Okay. And of course,
so
we
can
find out more information about it by visiting
absolutely.
Your website.
We absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, Carrie Steadily is the person leading this effort to get students engaged.
Okay.
And so to help them, in this case, we're helping the kids become more English proficient.
Oh,
basically.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
Great. Now, this is Hispanic Heritage Month, which means that there's got to be a celebration somewhere. Tell us about what activities are going on that celebrate your heritage.
Of course, individual churches are having their own celebrations with their parishioners. But as far as I know, the big one in Huntsville, there's not a big one that I'm aware of. Wendy and I were researching and we didn't find anything except for the one at UAH, but I believe it's, again, for their students. Okay. You know, it's kind of like, it's not open. I don't think it's open to the public due to
precautions.
The
precautions.
Yes. Yeah, because yes. However, there is one that is going to take place in at the Toyota Park. But that one has a cost. You know, it's part of the Thrash Pandas activities.
Okay.
So they're going to have one that's located in Huntsville. And then the one, the big one, that also it involves a fee for anyone 12 and older. And it's Fiesta. They have done it for several years. It's and they're doing a celebration of life. So they include the Hispanic Heritage theme for the year, and it's going to be September 25th in the Birmingham's Lynn Park. That is the biggest one that I've been hearing about lately. Okay.
All right. And sounds like a lot of fun there. Now, Juana, if people want to contact you for more information concerning any of these programs that we've talked about today, how can they reach you?
excuse me, Michael.
That's okay.
Got my throat. My number, my direct number is my cell phone, 256-572-0241.
Okay.
And that is my direct cell phone, or they we also have our office number, which is 256-582-2009. That's the office number.
Okay, and I'm going to say that again because I'm slow when it comes to writing numbers. I don't know what it is, but it's 256-582-2009 to reach you by telephone to talk about any of these activities or anything,
absolutely,
any of these programs. For more information about Urban Extension, now I do know this. You can visit aces.edu/urban, and also the Urban Affairs Unit is on Facebook at facebook.com/Aces Urban Affairs Unit, and that's all one word, ACES Urban Affairs Unit. And you can find out about more of these programs that we've mentioned and some more besides, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You find a number of, you name it, from A to Z, agriculture, horticulture, nutrition, health, et cetera, you know, family and child development, et cetera, to say, just name a few.
Juana Macias Christian, thank you so much for being with me today here on This Week at Alabama A&M University, representing ACES here on the campus of Alabama A&M University, Alabama Extension. It's been a pleasure. It's been too long, so you'll have to come back soon. We can't wait a year next time.
I know. And just to refresh, the local Huntsville program is on September 17th Toyota Park. So it is a private event, but it's something, you know, people are able to make it September 17th, 5:30. That's at Huntsville. So we have one in Huntsville, one major one in Huntsville, one major one in Birmingham. And it's been my pleasure, Michael. We're running out of time. Thank you so much. I look forward to being in studio a year from now.
Yes.
You know, things, if all goes well, and we will be coming back to you every second. Alabama ACES will be coming, showing our presence.
Every second Monday of the month. Thank you so much for joining me today. And that's going to take care of us for this week at Alabama A&M for today. We'll join you next time right here on 90.9 FM WJAB. Return you now to Afternoon Expressions right here on 90.9 FM WJAB.
I'm Elsa Chang. We visit a neighborhood in Detroit where infrastructure funding is needed to fight flooding.
Plus, North Korea tested long-range cruise missiles over the weekend.
It was a reminder that you may be distracted with Afghanistan, COVID-19, with your domestic issues, but we're still building weapons.
And grocery store prices are going up, way up. The Biden administration says the meatpacking industry is part of the problem.
Farmers are